From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. We come to you in the evenings on Relevant Radio from 9 to 10 p.m. And our special Saturday program, our new Saturday program, well, relatively new in the last 3 or 4 months, at 10 a.m., our Bishop's Best from the previous week. Also, you can get us online at your convenience. You don't have to listen to any particular time. You just come on in and go to scd.org, and there we are. That day's show will be posted, and you can listen to it at your leisure for 24 hours, and then the next day's show will be posted all, Monday through Friday. And they will also be archived, so you can find previous shows that you may be looking for. Well, a lot happening. We should give you the circle the date on this and make your reservations. The More Than S'mores, a fundraising dinner and auction for Camp Pendola, is coming up at the end of the month, April the 28th at St. John the Evangelist Parish. This is a wonderful event for that's the biggest fundraiser of the year for Camp Pendola. Proceeds benefit camperships for Camp Pendola, scholarships for those kids who might not be able to go to camp otherwise. You'll enjoy an evening of delicious barbecue, beer, wine, and s'mores for dessert. And tickets are on sale now. You can go to friendsofpendola.org to make your reservation. Again, it's April the 28th at St. John the Evangelist Parish right here in Sacramento. In fact, that's a Saturday, so should be a great evening. Also, the presentation, their annual golf classic is May the 3rd at the beautiful Del Paso Country Club. They have signups coming, so you can give them a call. Call Shelley Murphy. She's at 916-481-7441. That's 916-481-7441. Also, a wonderful couple of opportunities for discernment for both boys and girls, age 13 to 17. Girls age 13 to 17 will learn about religious orders, consecrated life, married life, time for fellowship, games, and more at the Deus Vocat, God is Calling. It's the High School Girls Discernment Retreat, May 4th through the 6th at the Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax. Cost is just $50 and includes room and board to be overnight for two nights there. If you have any questions, you can contact the Diocese of Sacramento Office of Vocations, 916-733-0258, or email Maricela Smith at msmith@scd.org. Or you can just find all the forms and register at scd.org/Deus Vocat. That's DEUSVOCAT. Also, for young boys, the Quo Vadis retreat a little bit later in the year, August 2nd through the 5th at Trinity Pines in Colfax. The cost is just $60, and that's it would be overnight three nights, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th, and leaving on the 5th. Again, boys age 13 to 17, they'll learn about the priesthood and married life. There'll be time for fellowship, games, hiking, camp activities, fishing, Holy Mass, adoration, and more. Go to scd.org/Quo Vadis. That's Quovadis, Quo Vadis. If you have any questions, again, 916-733-0258 or email msmith@scd.org. Men's Day of Faith Renewal will take place Friday the 13th at St. Mel's Parish in Fair Oaks at 7 p.m. It's a free event for the entire community, men, women, children, the whole family is welcome. You don't want to miss this very special evening of fun and faith, and it will conclude with free Leatherby's Ice Cream Social, so that should be great. And then the next day, will be a one-day men's retreat featuring Dr. Alan Hunt, mass talks, famous catered barbecue lunch, and see what the Lord has in mind for you for this day. Wonderful event featuring Dr. Alan Hunt. He's a partners with Matthew Kelly, serves as senior advisor at Dynamic Catholic. Here is an inspiring story of his journey from senior pastor of one of the largest Methodist congregations in the world to his entrance into the Catholic Church. Alan Hunt, I'm not sure if he's a doctor or not. Don't see it on the flyer. Aaron Thompson proves to be an inspiration to those around him, expressing his Catholic spirituality through song and personal relationship. He is the music director and recording artist at St. Mel's. Just show up for the Friday evening event with your family, or register for the Men's Day on Saturday, the 14th, this Saturday. Go to smpcevents.org. It should be just two wonderful evenings, and the one evening, and then the Saturday is a daytime event. So both of them will be great events at put on by our good friends at St. Mel's. I love, there's so much happening here in the Diocese of Sacramento. The Knights of Columbus Councils 953 and 16419 are presenting Beer and Brats Saturday, April the 28th, featuring Birra Nursia brewed exclusively by monks with the water from the Sibylline Mountains in the Valley of Nursia, birthplace of St. Benedict. Their monastery, the Monastery di San Benedetto, was wiped out by an earthquake, the terrible earthquake in 2016. And they have the urgent task of building and preserving a space for Nursia for those seeking God, monks and pilgrims alike. Every purchase of Birra Nursia helps ensure that the monks will have a place to sing the centuries-old Latin chants. They are going to, the knights are just going to be grilling beer and sausages, serving beer and grilling sausages all day on the Saturday, the 28th, from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. No reservations are necessary. It's not an event where there's a program or anything. You just show up anytime between 11:30 and 8 p.m. You can eat it right there at the beautiful grounds of the Newman Center, right across from Sacramento State. Newman Hall is at 5961 Newman Court here in Sacramento, 916-736-0953, if you have any questions at all. St. Mel's is also bringing in Michael Faber. Will be at St. Mel's for a presentation by the St. Mel's RCIA. And Michael Faber is just a wonderful speaker. We had him on the program earlier in the week. He's published in this month's EWTN Coming Home Network newsletter about his conversion story. For more information, contact Mike Ochoa. Mike is at 916-730-3178. That's 916-730-3178. That's Saturday, April the 28th at St. Mel's. An awful lot going on here. Camp Pendola still needs counselors, and go to pendola.org to find out all about it, or if you want to sign up for camp, also go to pendola.org. Just like to honor some of our priests and their dates of ordination as we move on through the year. Reverend Philip Massetti, his date of ordination was 1976, so that's 42 years for him. Joel Martinez, 1991. Cesar Alges, 1983. Julian Medina, 1973. Alfredo Tamayo, 1977. James Narahukal, 1972. Mario Valmarita, 1983. Paul Ricks, 1978. Ray Abursabal, 1991. Deacon Manuel Ocon, 1991. All of them celebrating anniversaries significant ones for them as well. Now, the Sacramento Diocese Council of Catholic Women is welcoming all women of the diocese to a wonderful conference on Saturday, April the 21st. The highlight of the conference is the honoring of the Women of the Year for the Sacramento Diocese deaneries. The conference includes Holy Mass in the morning. There will be a presentation on activities to combat human trafficking and clean water initiatives. There will also be fair trade goods for sale. Registration is $35, includes continental breakfast and lunch. And you can go to their website, the SDWWC, or call 530-344-7369. That's 530-344-7369. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. You can drop by and shop at their thrift store, 2275 Watt Avenue. It's open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, furniture, appliances, clothing, books, and everyday household items. You can give them a call, 916-972-1212. We'd also like to thank the kind and dedicated folks at Associated Sound for all their help in keeping all our equipment running with their excellent sound assistant and technical expertise. When it comes to sound, Associated Sound is the only name you need to know. Give them a call. They're at 916-649-8040 or go online at associatedsound.com. Well, located in Citrus Heights, Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years. Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King as the jewel of the diocese, a wonderful retreat center. They have parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. You can give them a call, 916-725-4720. That's 916-725-4720, or visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back. And vocations contest, essay contest, as part of the Caller Cup, which features the priest versus the seminarian, the 2018 Vocations Essay Contest. Tell us how your relationship with a priest, sister, seminarian, or deacon has enriched your life as a Catholic. Grand prize winners, one winner from each from grades K through 8 and high school, will win four tickets to the 2018 Caller Cup, a soccer ball autographed by Sacramento Republic players, and the teacher of the grand prize-winning student will receive two tickets to the 2018 Caller Up. There will be some wonderful runner-up prizes as well. So it should be a great essay contest. There are two divisions, one for high school and one for K through 8. Wouldn't it be great to see a kindergartner win this contest? Probably won't happen, but it might. They're eligible. And the runner-up prizes include a Caller Cup or Sacramento Republic scarf. Here's how you enter. Should be it's a 500-word limit. All entries are due by this Sunday, April 15th. They must be typed, be submitted by a teacher or catechist. At the top of each entry, be sure to include the student's name, their parish or their school, and the teacher's name and email. It's open to students in Catholic schools or public schools or homeschools. They're all welcome to enter. Again, tell us how your relationship with a priest, sister, seminarian, or deacon has enriched your life as a Catholic. And we should point out that the Caller Cup itself, the second annual game between the priests and the seminarians, will take place Saturday, June 23rd at Papa Murphy Stadium, which is right next to Cal Expo, 1600 Exposition Boulevard. There will be a 4 p.m. vigil mass with Bishop Soto. celebrating, and people will just be in the stands. If you've never attended Holy Mass, sitting in the bleachers at a soccer stadium, it is quite an experience. I was there last year. It was a beautiful day, a little bit warm. It was, I think it was the 1st of July, a little bit warm, but a wonderful Mass, followed by the Collar Cup match between the priests and the seminarians at 5:15 p.m., and trust me, this was a spirited battle, ended up with a 1-0 win by the seminarians. So the priests are vowing, well, they would never vow revenge. They're just vowing, they're vowing to even the score. And then at 6 o'clock, the vocations fair opens. There will be a lot of information about vocations for those that are interested, and some really valuable information there. And then also, you know, the concession stands are open, and then you can stick around. At 8 p.m., the Sacramento Republic will have a professional match going on. So just a lot happening. To learn more about all of it, go to collarcup.com. Or you can call a 916-733-0260. That's the vocations office, or contact msmith@scd.org. Also, Sacramento Republic players are willing to visit your school, which would just be a thrill for the kids. So, you again, call Maricela Smith at 916-733-0260 to register your school and plan a visit. But reminder, the essays are due this Sunday, April 15. They need to be sent to Father Jovito Rata, that's Jovitorata, the Director of Vocations. The address is 2110 Broadway, right here in Sacramento. The zip is 95818. So get those essays in for the Collar Cup. And Gabe, we will have the winning essayists here on the Bishop's Hour. And I will be attending the Collar Cup with my family. And we look forward to that. This is the second year. And another event, Priests versus Seminarians, is coming up on May the 30th. Will be at Christian Brothers High School, and it is priest versus seminarian basketball game, the Sacramento Classic, and this will be the 4th annual basketball classic at Christian Brothers. So circle that date, May the 30th, and soon we'll tell you how to get tickets for that as well. But the first three have just been, people have been hanging from the rafters at Christian Brothers. But I think next year they're going to have to move it to the Golden One Center, because there's a lot of enthusiasm for this game. And again, it's a very spirited basketball game, and it's great afterwards to see all the priests, all the seminarians, the bishop, all joining hands at center court, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful faith-filled evening and a wonderful basketball evening as well. And again, the priests lead that one 2-1, so that's going to be interesting as well. Well, the bishops, all the Catholic bishops along the U.S.-Mexico border, have responded to the recent call to send National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexican border. This is what they have to say, and these are a number of bishops from the border states: Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller, Bishop Daniel Flores, Bishop Michael Cease, Bishop James Tamayo, Bishop Mark Seitz, Bishop Edward J. Weisenberger, Bishop Robert McElroy, and Bishop Oscar Cantu. This is what they have to say. We are deeply concerned by the announcement that the National Guard will be deployed on the U.S.-Mexico border. The continued militarization of the U.S.-Mexico border distorts the reality of life on the border. This is not a war zone, but instead is comprised of many peaceful and law-abiding communities that are also generous in their response to human suffering. We recognize the right of nations to control and secure their borders. We also recognize the need of nations to respect the rule of law. Current law in the United States rightly provides that those arriving to our country fleeing persecution are entitled to due process as their claims are reviewed, seeking refuge from persecution and violence in search of a peaceful life for oneself and one's family is not a crime. Our faith calls us to respond with compassion to those who suffer and to live in a spirit of solidarity with all human beings. These are the words of the bishops of the border states in response to the president's order to that National Guard will be sent to the border. They go on to say, we remain hopeful that our local, state, and federal officials will work collaboratively and prudently in the implementation of this deployment, ensuring that the presence of the National Guard is measured and not disruptive to community life. We're also deeply concerned that at this time, divisive rhetoric often promotes the dehumanization of immigrants as if all were threats and criminals. The bishops conclude, we urge Catholics and people of goodwill to look past the dehumanizing rhetoric regarding immigrants and remember that they are a vulnerable population, our neighbors and our sisters and brothers in Christ. So those are the words of bishops on the border states, of course, California, one of those as well, and the California bishops with Bishop Soto, who is the president of the Bishops Conference of California, the California Catholic Conference, have also issued a similar statement, and we'll talk with Bishop Soto shortly about that statement as well. A reminder, Dr. Alan Hunt, a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, he will be at St. Mel's Friday night and then again on Saturday. Saturday is the men's conference, so it's for men only, a day-long conference, a wonderful, wonderful event. And then on Friday night, Dr. Hunt will be there for an event for families, mom, dad, kids, everybody, the whole family is invited. It'll conclude with Leatherby's ice cream, a free Leatherby's ice cream social. So that's a great thing to go to. But just some wonderful presentations and a chance to renew your faith. Dr. Hunt's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author. His books include Confessions of a Megachurch Pastor, How I Discovered His Hidden Treasures of the Catholic Church, Everybody Needs to Forgive Somebody, and 9 Words, a Bible study to help you become the best version of yourself. Wouldn't you like to know what those 9 words are? Dr. Hunt stepped aside July 1st, 2007, so almost 11 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, as senior pastor at Mount Pisgah, a congregation serving more than 15,000 people each week in Alpharetta, Georgia, which is just outside Atlanta. While at Mount Pisgah, Dr. Hunt helped to develop comprehensive ministries with children and students, as well as a Christian school with more than 1,200 students, a Beacon of Hope Pregnancy Resource Center, and the Summit Counseling Center. On January 6, 2008, the Feast of the Epiphany, Dr. Hunt converted to the Catholic Church. So it should be a great event at St. Mel's. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will be joined by Bishop Jaime Soto. So stay tuned. The Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the good folks at the Catholic Store located at 1928 Broadway in downtown Sacramento. It has articles for baptism, first communion, confirmation, ordinations, weddings, and much, much more, plus Bibles, books, holy cards, and a variety of gifts. Give them a call, 916-457-1970, or visit them at 1928 Broadway right here in Sacramento. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from the Knights of Columbus Todd Cabral Agency, which provides guaranteed wealth creation for your family and your passion while maintaining the highest ethical standards in the industry. The Knights of Columbus Insurance, keeping Father McGivney's promise alive by providing peace of mind to Catholic families since 1882. To find an agent in your area, call our good friend Todd Cabral. Todd is at 916-997-9999. Bishop Sauer is also pleased to have underwriting support from Catherine Fisher, LCSW, providing therapy and mental health services from a Catholic perspective. Catherine knows that our Catholic faith is interwoven into every aspect of our lives and relationships. She offers counseling for individuals, couples, and families. You can call her at 916 214-4623 or go to cfisher@chihimail.com.
Hello, this is Mark Ross from the Diocese of Sacramento Black Catholic Ministry. This is the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that introduction. And Bishop Jaime Soto joins us. Bishop Soto, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing, Bob?
Doing very, very good. We were just discussing my young son had a emergency appendectomy Sunday night, but he did go to Mass Sunday morning. So
okay. All right. Good. And he's doing well. Is he home already?
He's home. Yeah. They kept him one night.
Yeah.
And actually the surgery was pretty late at night because it was an emergency. And,
right.
And they sent him home the next day, and he's sore, but he's not in a lot of pain.
He's just
sore from the incision. And,
right. Yeah, right.
But he'll recover. He's a tough
kid.
But,
all right, good. Great.
You never know what's right around the corner. You know?
Oh, boy.
You go from what are we going to have for dinner to how fast can we get him to the hospital?
I'm glad that he's on the mend, and that's such a those are scary episodes.
Yeah.
I just know with my siblings, you know, mm-hmm. that they have those stories that, you know, one moment to the next, all of a sudden you have a crisis on your hand. And
yeah. It's like that old, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah, yeah. <You know? laughs> Well, please give him my regards, and I'm sure the regards of all our listeners.
We sure will. Thank you, Bishop. So a lot happening.
We
made it through Easter.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we just, we just had three deacons ordained,
yes.
three transitional deacons, and very exciting. Dean Marshall, Manny Hernandez, and Steve Wood. So,
very good.
Yeah.
I've had the opportunity to interview Dean a time or two.
Oh, is that right?
He's a fun guy.
Oh, he's a very funny guy. Very funny. Well, they're all three funny, actually. So I'm just delighted. In fact, all three of them. Dean's been in and out of the seminary, because in his kind of he had a longer discernment process than most, and I don't think I'm telling any secrets out of school, but I was always convinced he had a vocation, so I was just really delighted, he's ordained now, and the other two, it's amazing. I can still remember when Manny and Steve came in and how the years went by quickly, and here they are ordained to the diaconate already. So,
and of course, the transitional diaconate, they will be ordained, and then they will be
ordained priests. Right. Hopefully, with God's grace, they'll be ordained in June of 2019. So
it's a little over a year.
Yeah,
and that's distinguished from the permanent diaconate,
which is a
separate track, but also very valuable.
A very different calling,
right?
You know, a very different calling, and it's just part of the priesthood that you have to be ordained a deacon first, and then you'll be ordained a priest, But the permanent diaconate is, in some sense, Manny, Steve, and Dean, they're all aspiring to be priests.
Sure.
And the permanent diaconate, we have men who are all aspiring to be deacons.
Right.
So.
Right. And most of them are married.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't know if all of them are, but most of them are. And they do wonderful service to the church as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I think about you on Easter, the Saturday Vigil Mass, and quite a long Mass, and very late Mass because it has to be half an hour after sundown.
I don't know. I don't get it. It gets later every year, Bob. I just don't get it. But
with daylight saving time and Easter can be as late as almost. I think it's the 23rd of April is the latest it can be, and. And then it has to be after sundown, like
right.
about half an hour.
So it was you know, after 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
And it can last up to 3
well,
hours?
Well, it was 3 hours.
3 hours,
it was
yeah.
3 hours. So, I was driving home, you know, after 11 o'clock that night. So.
And then you turn it around the next morning. It's Easter yeah. Sunday.
We had, I'm not complaining. Those are beautiful rituals, and
yeah,
and there is a certain joy to it all. I was, I enjoyed the whole ritual. I will say I came to it a little bit fatigued because earlier that day, we had the walk, and
it started at
7 a.m. and you know, the good news is we had, you know, 1,000 people plus. Yeah. So maybe around 1,300 folks right. joined the walk. You have a walk that long and
what, 6 or 7 miles, something
it's
like
7
that.
Miles. Seven miles. So you have a walk that long, and to try to keep everybody together, it yeah. just takes longer.
Sure. Oh, sure. You know? Because so, you're only as fast as the slowest person.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. So, so in any case, we kind of wrapped that up about, you know, after 2 o'clock.
Oh my goodness!
So it was a long.
That's not a world record for 7 yeah. miles.
I mean, you know, it's just that you kind of take your time and sure. and so it's not there's nothing. Well, the length is strenuous, but yeah. there's not, you know, it's a pretty casual walk. A lot of families, right. a lot of young people. So it was a great experience. And it's a very old Hispanic tradition, normally done actually on Holy Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And but because of people's schedules it works out for us to try to do this on a mm-hmm. on a Saturday morning. You know, churches are usually pretty quiet, and folks it's become a tradition for a good number of folks to come and join us for this. And we stop at 7 churches and reflect on the 7 last words of Jesus. And given the you know, what the city of Sacramento has been dealing with in recent weeks, and where actually was really kind of at its peak during Holy Week, it was a poignant and also a poetic gesture of, you know, bringing a very quiet testimony of faith,
right.
walking through, all the neighborhoods that
right.
surround the city of Sacramento. So
yeah, it's
so it was. I thought and what's been happening with the city was on the thoughts and the prayers of mm-hmm. many of the people who were on the procession. So it wasn't, in a certain sense, like we were ignoring that. But I think it was actually very much at the heart of what we were doing, and that the importance of doing this of
yeah.
actually providing this kind of quiet, prayerful. Testimony was on the minds of many of the people who mm-hmm. were, and it was definitely in our prayers as we went from church
yeah,
to church.
That's good. You know, it's been a really difficult several weeks, and I know people have different opinions about it, but I feel like leadership from the police chief to the mayor. Is really concerned about doing the right thing here.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you had a chance to see the my reflections or thoughts on this
yeah.
With regards to on Palm Sunday, but I think that the truth of the matter is you know that when that any killing, you know, whatever the circumstances,
right.
you know, is evil, and that and you're going to see the consequences
yep.
of that,
and
you know that the judgments as to the actions of the police officers here is still something to that you know will be coming, and
right.
And there's obviously going to be continued debate and. And consideration about, you know, how do we manage these kinds of situations
exactly.
in the future. But, you know, we all, particularly from a moral standpoint, have to understand that there's that you know, the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," is there for a reason.
Yeah, and there aren't a whole bunch of amendments to it.
Yeah,
it just says, "Thou shalt not kill."
Yeah. Yeah. And there are, again, circumstances where you and you know, moral teachers talk about necessary evils,
like
but you have to acknowledge it's an evil.
Exactly, and through the you'll see a lot of it in the just war guidelines.
That's true. Yes, but I think it you know, it definitely is something that. You know, particularly as we carry on this whole reflection about policing and how to do proper policing. But I think one of the things that is important for us to keep in mind, you know, is that my concern is that there's a lot of focus now on policing, and sure. and some of that is appropriate, and we do need to I think the mayor and the police chief, you know, have to and the city council have to examine about how do we do better policing?
How do we do better policing?
But I think the broader issue is that, you know, so much has been laid on the police department, you know, and that there aren't oftentimes a lot of the other structures or supports in neighborhoods and communities, and so the police become, you know, the counselor, the social worker, you know, the mental health worker of last resort.
And it
puts them in a very difficult, oftentimes very difficult circumstances, and because oftentimes there aren't the other kinds of community supports that help to contribute to creating safe and flourishing neighborhoods and communities, particularly in some of our more at risk or stressed neighborhoods in the city.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult issue. You know, you try to look at it from both sides, and as you say, killing is evil. You know, and it becomes the bottom line. But there are, you know, you can see from both sides,
right?
And it really shouldn't be a matter of sides, but happens.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be a matter of just focusing on the police department. Right. I think we have to look at what other resources, it comes down to, Jesus's question, to the scribe, the scribe had said, who is my neighbor? Mm-hmm. And Jesus turns the question around and says, who was, after the parable of the Good Samaritan, who was the neighbor?
Right.
And that is something that we have to make that decision to be the neighbor. The good neighbor with one another, and we have to ask the questions about the police department, about how do we improve our schools, how do we address the issues of trying to create alternatives for children and young people, but. Then it has become a very personal question of how am I going to be a good neighbor?
Exactly. Well, I look at the moral values program, Frank and Monica Victorio, and they go right into the heart of at-risk neighborhoods and try to, one-on-one help kids. You know, programs like that, and I know a lot of our Catholic schools try to find at-risk kids and bring them into the school system in a very positive way. So you're right. It's a multifaceted problem.
I would just encourage everyone to try to keep that in prayer, oftentimes because of the level of emotion, and some of it is just a lot of anger out there. But the temptation can be to want to retreat from that and pull back. And I think that in some sense, I guess what I learned from as we followed through with our procession of the seven churches, that it's important for us to continue to be proactive and to as a church to do what we do best, you know, and to be a light in our neighborhoods and in our communities. And
absolutely.
So
we're talking with Bishop Jaime Soto. Bishop Soto, you and your fellow bishops of California authored a statement about the National Guard on the border, and also bishops from the border states issued a similar statement.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the if you would, about the issues there and what, you know, sort of the Catholic values that are involved as well.
Well, I think that our concern is that you know, well, first of all, let me say that the United States government has an obligation and it's within its rights to try to do what it can to protect the border and to create, you know, what you know, a reasonable security, mm-hmm. you know, for us. I mean, that's, you know, that a nation has a right to sovereignty, right. But at the same time, I think that we also that these are not, it's not either or, but these are, you know, we also have to look at how do we care for people, you know, particularly immigrants and refugees, and how best do we respond to that, and for the United States, that is a very you know, integral part of our tradition. That's, yep. You know, in some sense that really does go to the DNA of what, you know, of what makes an American. And so, you know, the idea of building a wall on mm-hmm. there, that we have too many you know, examples, starting with the Berlin Wall, and or even, you know, the sense of the wall there in the Holy Land,
right?
You know, that those while it seems like those kind of solve immediate problems, they become problems themselves.
Yeah, the symbol of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they become problems themselves, and I guess my you know the work of the National Guard, you know, that they, you know, that they're very important, both for, you know, for domestic as well as international support when needed, and my fear is that in the current environment that this is more of a polemical gesture mm-hmm. than it is one to really address,
right.
You know, some real issues there at the border, and I think that there have been the past, you know, despite some of the polemical remarks made, that I think that there have been strides have been made with regards to trying to create a safer border. And I've had the opportunity in the past to speak with men and women of the Border Patrol, and I know, you know, that some do make mistakes, but others are just trying to do a very difficult
right.
job, and that
yep.
sometimes it's not a matter of just that their work is not a matter of just apprehending folks, but sometimes their work is saving lives.
Absolutely.
Of people in the desert.
Yeah,
so, but I think that there's the reality of what needs to happen at the border, and then there's the politics
mm-hmm.
of immigration that I think cloud what would be sound policies, you know, at the border.
So,
but I think part of the issue is that, you know, that an immigration reform bill, which is something that the bishops have, not just in California but across the country, have been insisting is so important, that can go a long way to try to address the yep. issues that we have about the border, and that will be a more effective means of addressing some of the issues by taking what are, you know, a significant population here in the United States who work very hard and who are already contributing to American society, and to provide them the way that they can participate more fully and come out of the shadows and provide for themselves as well as, I think, also for the rest of the of the country, you know, a sense of security and common bonds that that are important. And so I just don't I think that this is my fear is that this is more about polemics than it is about good policy.
So the bishops obviously have been on the forefront of the immigration debate for years now, and the sort of the truism is the closer you get it to an election, the less chance there is that
unfortunately that's
you're going to have action. If the bishops were in charge, I guess, what are the two or three or four things that the bishops would of the United States would, and you're pretty much united on this,
right?
That you would like to see with the immigration quote unquote debate or the immigration problem, if you will.
Well, I think one of the things, you know, a few of the things that we think would be. I'll say one thing that does concern me in terms of the current debate, and that as the bishops speaking from our own moral tradition, that any immigration legislation has to address the unification of the family.
Yes,
and that some of the current new ideas that are coming out is in fact that, you know, trying to. I think that the expression chain migration is an offensive term that undermines the realities of families that have always been a part of the immigration traditions in our country, and that we have always honored that, and so that to betray that. That moral and civic principle that has always been a part of immigration, right. I think is very distressing for us. And so we would, you know, that's an important principle. And I think that you know, looking for that again, many folks, immigrant families, have already been here a good number of years, and you know, and many of them have already paid taxes, you know, and have been gainfully employed. So how, when we talk about a legalization program, as was done back in 1986, you know, that there's a way to do that so that people meet certain criteria, you know, and demonstrate, an ability to be able to participate in American life, and that you know that those folks should be given an opportunity. I think the program back in 86 was very successful, and I think that the that could be done again. Mm-hmm. You know, I think also that. And this goes back to the family unification issue, that one of the more significant drivers of undocumented immigration is the fact that certain family categories are backlogged, unreasonably backlogged. You know, they're up to 10 years or more. Right. And that's not true for most countries. Actually, most countries, the family visas are relatively current. But there are those countries where, visas are seriously backlogged. Mexico, Central America, the Philippines, and India. Most of those countries are also where oftentimes the bulk of the undocumented population are found, because the waiting periods for to for families to be united, right. it's just unreasonable. So there should be a way to address that. And I would lastly say, not to get too much into the weeds on this, but the U.S. will always have labor demands that will fluctuate, and how best to respond to those, how best to manage immigrant labor in response to those demands. That I don't think that we do have some worker visas,
mm-hmm.
but they tend to be rather inflexible. And how can we create programs that, for example, you know, as the agriculture or construction,
right?
You know, as the demand in some of those areas grow, you know, how do you expand the visas to be able mm-hmm. to meet that demand, mm-hmm. so both for the sake of the workers as well as for you know, the society, that they're, you know, that they, somebody comes in with the, you know, the proper legal protections, mm-hmm. And I, you know, I go back to my experience when I was a young priest, and there was a certain amount of immigrant labor that went back and forth, either for construction or mm-hmm. for agriculture, and it was mostly men at that time,
mostly even men. The Bracero program,
yeah, and they would come back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and leave their families in the host countries while they were there for, you know, in the United States for 3 months, 4 months.
Working. And even though they were obviously in the Bracero program, a lot of abuses that are even now coming to light.
Yeah.
There was some positive to it, although unfortunately that didn't involve the families.
Yeah,
you know.
But I think that there's ways to try to I'm hopeful that there would be a way to try to address that and create that as an opportunity for folks. Yeah.
Well, it's a complicated problem, and California primary is 2 months away. So there's primaries going on.
Yeah, at a certain point, I think the window is pretty closed until after the elections, and so that's I don't want to get too much into the particulars of the politics, but I just today. You know, Paul Ryan just announced that he was not going to run, and I, you know, I mean, he is the speaker for the Congress, there was a certain reluctance for him to move more aggressively on immigration, mm-hmm. but I also believe that he kind of understood the issue. I was hopeful that he would, a little disappointed that he wasn't more aggressive on it, but I think he understood the church's position and wanted to help promote that. And, you know, unfortunately that, you know, he'll be stepping, you know, well, he won't, he won't run for re-election,
right.
And so, and as to what the new leadership will do with that, we'll have to see.
And we don't even know if we don't know yet if the leadership will be Republican or mm-hmm. Democrat at this point in the House.
That's so right. We'll have to see. I will say, you know, I do want to mention before I go that there is obviously the new apostolic exhortation
that
Holy Father has come out with, Gaudete ex exultate.
I fumbled on that one.
And just got to practice it a few times. And but it's, you know, Holy Father is Holy Father Pope Francis is once again underline the call to holiness, which was one of the, I think, fundamental calls the Vatican Council, mm-hmm. the Second Vatican Council,
absolutely.
Was the call to holiness.
Right.
And so I have not had a chance to kind of work my way through the document. It's still just kind of hot off the presses. But just in terms of reading some of the highlights, I think that this will be a welcome document in helping us to step back and I look at a lot of the work that has been done over the papacies of St. John Paul II, and Pope Benedict, and now Pope Francis, and to see that that common thread of how do we seek to be holy. And one of the remarks that Pope Francis says is, do not be afraid of holiness,
right.
Don't be afraid to be a holy people. And I think there's going to be a lot to mine in that document, and I would just encourage folks to read it.
Yeah, and it's available in a lot of places right now. And
yeah,
the secular soundbite that we're getting out of it is, he wants us all to be saints. What a novel idea.
Yeah. Let's think about that.
Let's think about that. Indeed. Bishop, thanks so much for your time and for all you do.
Well, we do it together, Bob. And again, my regards to all the family, especially your son.
Thank you. And
may we all be able to have a very joyful and blessed Easter season.
Thanks, Bishop Soto. That's going to do it for us for today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love, and you can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation by calling 916-851-2700. Fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts is for all of us. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. Give them a call. They're at 916-338-7272, or drop on and visit them, 6916-6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Well, if you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to where you want to go. Details are available at Crumley & Associates. They're at 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks, or give them a call at 916-638-4600. We thank them for their longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. Underwriting is also provided to the Bishop's Hour by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call, 855-525-2285. We thank all the wonderful underwriters for the Bishop's Hour, and we hope you will support those who support us. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great!